Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continue with the chapter on correcting one's niyat and at the same time having the presence of intention in whatever a person does. Today's hadith is a long hadith. It comes in several places in different hadith kitabs, including Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif and other hadith kitabs. It's a incident about three people. Famously, this hadith is known as Hadith Ghar. The incident with three people were walking and they had taken refuge in a cave. And then they supplicated and made dua because a boulder, with the heavy rain, a boulder had fallen and blocked the entrance of the cave. So then they three made dua. But this dua had a lot got to do with that ikhlas of those actions they did, and through the barakat of the actions, they made wasila through the barakat of the actions that they had done, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that boulder that was blocking that entrance and preventing them from coming out. So here we see that when something is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has such power in it that even if a person makes dua using these actions, these a'mal as a wasila, that Allah, these actions were done only for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates it so much that a person's duas are also answered on account of his ikhlas and his sincerity in doing actions. His duas also become answered. So this hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, three people from a nation of the past were walking and took refuge in a cave for the night. A rock from the mountain fell at the mouth of the cave and trapped them therein. They said, the only thing that will save you from this rock is your supplication to Allah Ta'ala by virtue of your good deeds. So now amongst them they made a mashura. The only thing now that's going to save us is that supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of our good deeds. So one of them said, "Oh Allah, I had extremely old parents and it was my habit that I never gave milk to my family and slaves before giving it to them. One day I went far off in search of grazing pastures and I returned late in the evening. I found that my parents had already fallen asleep. I milked their drink as was my habit and brought it to them. I did not want to awaken them from their sleep and I also did not want to give it to my family and slaves before giving it to my parents. I remained standing with the bowl in my hands waiting for them to wake up. When dawn broke, the children were crying at my feet out of hunger, but I waited until they both woke up and drank the milk. Oh Allah, if I did this for your pleasure," this is the part that is coming for ikhlas, "that oh Allah, if I did it for your pleasure, then rescue us from this cave by removing this rock." It opened slightly, but they were still unable to get out. This part of the hadith, there's a little bit of explanation. Ulama explained that this person, out of his habit and out of his love for his parents, he did this. But in reality, a person has got rights to his parents, he has got rights to his children. So he could have given it to his children also. His parents were sleeping, he should have given or could have given it to his parents. But this was that extreme love that this particular person had for his parents. So therefore he, at that time, didn't give his children. So now it was that love and that ikhlas that he had, that this was my habit. They were sleeping. He stood there whole night by them in order to give them this milk. Purely out of love for his parents, he did this. He waited there the whole night. That perhaps they'll wake up and they'll be hungry. Then when they are hungry, they don't have to look around and wonder what they're going to have. I'll be standing here with this milk to give them. So this was that love and ikhlas that he had for his parents. Another thing we learn from here is how important it is to respect one's parents. It is not a small thing. When a person respects his parents, then his duas also get answered. This person made dua using that respect and that revere that he had for his parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved that rock a little bit. The second person said, "Oh Allah, I had a cousin who I loved passionately." Another narration has it, "I loved her as passionately as a man could love a woman. I tried to seduce her, but she refused me. Eventually, one year, she was reduced to poverty and was forced to come to me for assistance. I gave her 120 dinars, that's 120 gold coins, on condition that she yield herself to me. She agreed, but when I had full control over her, and in another narration, when I was about to engage in relations with her, she said, 'Fear Allah and do not break the seal of virginity unlawfully.' So I turned away from her despite the fact that I loved her so passionately, and I also left her the gold which I had given her. Oh Allah, if I did this for your pleasure rescue us from this cave by removing this rock. It opened slightly, but they were still unable to get out. Here was an instance of a person who gave up guna when he was on the verge of committing guna. So much of effort he had made and so much of cost, 120 gold coins. He worked for so long to get these coins and now he had paid it and he was ready to commit the guna. But for the sake of Allah, he gave up guna. Allah Pak appreciates this so much. And the person's dua is also answered because the person had given up guna for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, giving up guna is not a small thing. When the person decides that he wants to give up something, he wants to give up sin for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very, very great thing. The other day we did, that Sahaba had given up Makkatul Mukarramah, those muhajirin, they had given it up for the sake of Allah. They didn't even want to pass away there, something that was beyond their volition. Even that they didn't want to do. Why? We gave up this Mubarak land for the sake of Allah, we don't want to take anything back. So when a person gives up guna, there is no such thing as going back to guna. Finish, I gave it up for the sake of Allah, and that's the end of the story. So here we see this person giving it up, and now he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala appreciated that, the rock moved even further, but still not yet enough for all of them to come out. The third person said, "Oh Allah, I hired some laborers and paid them their wages, except for one man who left without taking what was due to him. I invested his wage and it increased greatly in value. He came to me after some time and said, 'Oh servant of Allah, pay me my wage.' I said, 'All these camels, cows, sheep and slaves that you see here are your wage.' He said, 'Oh servant of Allah, do not make fun of me.' I replied, 'I am not making fun of you.' He then took them all and led them away without leaving behind anything. Oh Allah, if I did this for your pleasure, rescue us from this cave by removing this rock.' The rock moved away completely and they were able to walk away free." What happened in this third occasion is this person had hired some staff, some laborers. In those days they would pay their laborers with some commodity. Nowadays we pay with cash, or we do a transfer into the account. In those days they would pay with commodities. So there was agreed upon amount of rice that he was supposed to give this worker of his. Whatever the amount was, it was an agreed amount, volume of rice, that this is what your payment will be. But before this particular worker could take his rice, he left the job. He left the job and he went away. So after some time, he came back. Now look at the boss. He could have said, "This person went away, that's the end of story. Or when he comes, then I'll just give him that one rice amount that is due to him." He said, "No, let me invest it on his behalf." Now, Shari'i wise, all he needed to do was, he only needed to give that rice, because that what was due to that person. He didn't need to take his amount and invest it. And even when he's investing, he's actually investing his own money, because that person's due is something else. So all these sheep and camels and servants and cows that came out of this investment was actually his, was actually the employer's. But out of the kindness of his heart, he had told the employee that, "I invested your amount, and this is what I got. This is the returns I got." Now, this is what you call a true employer. Someone is actually looking at the welfare of his employee. He could have just kept it and gave that person the rice. End of story. But he said, "No, I invested your rice, that amount that was due to you, and this was all the benefit that I got. And now all this benefit is your benefit, because actually it came from your rice. This is the way he taught, and this is the way he gave this person." So it was actually from his own side that he was doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated that kindness that was shown to his staff member, that employee of his. Allah ta'ala appreciated so much that now this rock had moved away completely. So here we learn something, that treating our staff and treating those people under us well is something that is very much liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this also we can understand that if we don't treat our staff well, we don't treat our employees well, then how do we expect Allah ta'ala to treat us well? How do we expect our du'as to get answered? There are so many people that the doors and doors and doors of rozi and barakat are opening for them just because of the du'as that they are taking of their staff. And on the other hand, a person can have a thriving business, but if his staff are giving him bad du'as, if his staff are not happy with him, then very soon the barakat from that place will go away, it will disappear, and after a short while, person won't even realize that why there is so much of problems and worries in the business of his. But he's not realizing that the staff of his that are working and actually making that money for him, he's not treating them well. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. As we know, today is Friday, we should try and come early for the Jummah Salah. Try and increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make it a point of reading Suratul Kahf. Encourage the family also to read Suratul Kahf, especially in these times of fitna and fasad. And try and take advantage of the time before Maghrib Salah in making dua. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.